And gentlemen, how are you doing this evening? This is Gene Mack, and I'm coming to you from Blog Talk Radio on behalf of ComFest Global Community Film Festival. It's a film festival that deals with social and cultural issues around the globe. The film festival this year will be between the days of September the 12th through the 15th, and we hope those of you who are in the area can get out and see it. We're broadcasting from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And for those of you who aren't in Canada or who aren't on the East Coast, we're hoping you're having a great time and the weather in the Midwest isn't burning you up. No pun intended. And we hope everyone has had a marvelous summer, because the fall is upon us. And everyone knows what happens in the fall. We start playing football. And that's my passion. We'll be playing football in the college ranks coming this weekend. So we have a lineup of information for you tonight about the college football teams that we expect to do well, play well, and show well in this up and coming season. Also, the NFL will be starting in another week. This is their last weekend of playoff games, and we want to talk to you about them. But we only have a 30-minute show tonight, because the second half of the show is going to be involving the ComFest Global Film Festival. So stay tuned this evening on the show after I'm finished. Stay tuned later on tonight. You'll have a lot of information concerning, or quite a bit of information concerning, the Global Film Festival. Every year it happens in Toronto on the St. Lawrence Market community. And that's on Front Street, downtown Toronto. And it's going to be at the cinema this year, which it has been for the last couple of years, the Cineplex Cinema. And it's going to be, and it's called Rainbow Cinema, by the way. And it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people. There's going to be over 50 films. So if you have an opportunity to get out and see one, I think you should. It's sort of a festive atmosphere. It's nothing like TIFF, but TIFF will be going on at the same time. So if you can't get in one film you want to see there, come on down and see us. We're from the TIFF location, or the area that they're showing their films. We're only about a 10-minute walk, because most of their films are on King Street and Young Street, and that's where most of the cinemas are, except the premieres. They have, on occasion, moved their premieres around. Our premiere is on Front Street, and it'll be on Front Street. So, back to what we're here to talk to you about tonight is sports. The college football season starts up this weekend. It's going to be a rousing, big, festive weekend. We got a lot of teams vying to make it into the championship ring in order to be perhaps crowned number one team in the nation. And all of you who don't know much about college football, sit down and take a 20-minute gander of what I'm about to tell you. College football produces more money in entertainment than any other avenue of sports or entertainment. College football, they make tons of money. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that the March Madness makes $1 billion for the universities. $1 billion. Football doesn't make that much for each and every event, or each and every playoff event, or each and every conference event. But all total, they make well over $1 billion if you count all the universities in the NCAA high level. You know, that's the Notre Dames, the Texas, the Alabamas, the Stanfords, the Carolinas, the North and South. But this year we're going to talk to you, or tonight we're going to talk to you about Alabama, possibly the number one team in the nation. They're ranked number one at the beginning of the season before they've even played it down. Stanford, the Cardinals, and it's Cardinal the color, not the bird. Most of you may not realize that. The Stanford Cardinals, it's the color, not the bird. That's their mascot, the color. Texas A&M with Johnny Football, Manziel, who's had his rough week or two with the possibility of him being suspended for getting paid for signing jerseys. Now, I'm a firm believer that these young men who make millions of dollars for their prospective schools should be paid more money to subsist at their universities. Most of them are paid, you get tuition, room and board, and maybe $150 a month. If you're staying on campus, you get much less than that. If you're staying off campus, you get a little more. But so people like Manziel make a little money. Although Manziel probably didn't need it, because word is, and the fact is, he comes from a well-to-do family, you know. And everybody's jumping on him. I've read all kinds of reports about he's doing this and he's doing that. He shouldn't be doing this, and he doesn't have the maturity to be a Heisman Trophy winner, and he doesn't have the forethought and the understanding to act properly out in public. He's a young man who's enjoying himself. Let him enjoy. He's not did anything illegal. He's not broke any laws. Until he goes to breaking laws and getting caught with performance-enhancing drugs, or getting caught with drugs that are used for recreational use and purposes, or he's not being stopped for DWIs or DUIs, or he's not being stopped for assaulting people, let him enjoy himself. You know, he seems to be able to make it home without attracting police attention, without attracting authoritarian or security attention, to whereas he's being stopped for doing something illegal or irresponsible. Now, it's true that S.J. Green might not feel that way, because he was suspended a year in college, and he missed a year, but his professional career hasn't faltered at all, because in Cincinnati he's catching all kinds of ball. Same thing with the young kid that came from Oklahoma State, Denzel, I can't think of his last name right now, but he was drafted number one by the Cowboys, and he had to miss an entire season for supposedly accepting money for signing autographs or contracts. Now, they got caught. Manziel did not get caught. Did he get money? No one knows. No one's been able to prove it. And until someone can prove it, leave him alone. Let him go out and play. It's A&M's job to police that and to stop him from playing. Because if they do charge him after the season is gone on, they will have to forfeit all the games that they did win. And we got tons of stuff to talk about in football. Florida is coming back. Notre Dame is hoping to have another great year. Boise State is still ranked up there in the top 25. For a small school, that's quite good. When you think about it, Northern Illinois is one of the smaller schools in the top 25. And VTech always plays well. For those of you who don't know VTech, that's Virginia Tech. That's the bottom of the top 25. But we're going to start out with the number one team in the top 25. And we're going to try to get through all of them in the 30 minutes we have allotted tonight. And it'll give you some idea of what to expect from a team that's in your state or a team that's on your pool or a team you might want to pick up and watch one of these Saturday or Friday night games that you see on TV or these Saturday afternoon games. Number one team is supposed to be Alabama. Number one team is Alabama. The number one conference is the SEC, the Southeast Conference. And the reason they're the number one conference is because they have more top 10 teams or more top 20 teams at the end of every year than any other conference. Another reason they're number one is because the last seven of the eight national championships teams have come out of the Southeast Conference. And that says something. And no matter how they start out the season, no matter how they end the season, it always comes up SEC has the top team. LSU has won the national championship. Bama has won the national championship. Auburn has won the national championship. So as you can see, they got, and the teams that finish third, fourth, fifth, or sixth are in the top 20 easily. The Arkansas and the Georgias and the Auburns. So hey, no matter how you slice it, the SEC is the conference to beat in and out every year. And who do they have this year? Well, they got AJ McCammon. And those of you who don't know AJ McCammon, he's a young man who is, or who was associated with, the young girl who got all the publicity on Twitter and Twit and Facebook for being so attractive when the bowl game was going on. Brent Musburger turned to his co-announcer and said, "She's the most beautiful girl I've seen in quite a while." And she became an IT phenomenon. All of a sudden, this girl who was the girlfriend of AJ McCammon is universally known, especially in the U.S. Hey, that's how important sports are to the American, and especially college football. College football is the rudiment of why we, as North Americans, co-mingle and support each other. Because when you go to a university and all the time, that four-year period, one of the few things you have that's entertainment, that's virtually free to the student, that gives you a sense of camaraderie and union with the rest of the students at the school is the athletic competitions. And one of the most important athletic competitions is the football. So by the time you leave the university, you generally support and you become a lifetime fan of your college's sports program. If you have a top-flight football team, like Alabama, like Michigan State, like Ohio State, like the University of Texas, like USC, like UCLA, like Arizona, you never forget the great games and the great times and the great fun and the camaraderie you had with your fellow students. And that's why college football is the epitome of what the American society is all about. It's the Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays that you grow to love being a part of something that's much bigger than you, but without you, it's not the same. And everyone knows it. It's not one fan. It's all the fans at Alabama. It's not one fan, it's all the fans at Notre Dame. It's not one fan, it's all the fans at University, the University of Ohio. That's what Ohio State calls itself, the University of Ohio. But it's a beautiful thing. So if your children want the opportunity to go to university and they want to go away from home, if you can in any way afford it, if you can in any way enhance that opportunity or perhaps allow them to have that opportunity, it will give them a lifetime of memories that they will never forget. And you'll get them out of your hair. You get them out of your hair. You know, so if they're smart enough to get a scholarship to go away from home, find a way to help them pay for their room and board. You know, it'll be a big help. It'll be a big help. And they'll come back mature and more understanding and more appreciative of you than you ever thought they would. Well, Alabama is number one. And they're number one because they probably have one of the most competitive coaches, Nick Saban. He was a former NFL coach. Now he's a college coach. But they have one of the most competitive coaches in college football. And they got a returning starting senior quarterback. They've always had good running back from way beyond. They've had quarterbacks all the way from Joe Namath down. And this year they got quality receivers. And they got a quality running back. So they're number one in the nation because they were number one last year, and they should be number one this year. Number two, which is a bit of a surprise, because they were number one for a large part of the season, and then they sort of fell out of it, even though they ended up going to the Orange Bowl. And the Orange Bowl is not the Rose Bowl, you know. But that's all right. When they did go to the Rose Bowl, they played very well, you know. But they're number two, and their quarterback is Hogan. And he's back, and he should have a comparable year to last year. And they should be ranked pretty high. I don't think they're going to finish this year again. I don't think they're going to finish in the top five. But we'll see. You know, they got a young player by the name of Young, and he is a running back, and he's a receiver. He's a hybrid slot. You know, he's too small to be a running back. He's too short to be a wide receiver. So he's a slot back, and he does a little bit of everything. He's going to catch a lot of passes, at least 40 or 50. He's going to run the ball at least to the tune of 150 times, and we'll see what he'll do. But I don't think Stanford is going to stand up and end up number two and end up playing for the championship of their conference in the Rose Bowl. I don't think they'll make it this year, but they might. But that just goes to show you how strong the Pac-12 is. It's not as strong as it used to be. By the way, one good thing they do, they have a running back by the name of Barry Sanders. And for all of you who know, who most of us consider the greatest running back to ever play the game, is Barry Sanders, but he came from Oklahoma and ended up playing with the Detroit Lions. Number three is Johnny Manziel's team. And until they decide if he did something wrong, they're going to be top competitor from the SEC for the national championship. Number one, they got to beat Alabama. And number two, they got to let no one else in the conference beat them. And that's two very difficult things to do. I don't think the A&M Aggies have that much power. Plus, they don't have a defense. They got offense out there, yazoo. They might have the most offensive team in the nation. They got receivers. They've got running backs. They've got a quarterback. They've got offensive linemen. They are a powerhouse. And they got an experienced coach, and we'll just see how that cake ends up coming out the oven. But right now, they are probably the best offensive team in the nation, bar none. Okay, number four, we'll probably be Ohio State. Everyone else is saying Ohio State. I don't know. Ohio State, and I've talked to a few national championship Buckeyes. I'm really good friends with the 71 national championship team, Tatum, Anderson, and all those guys, Jack Tatum, Tim Anderson, and all those guys who won the national championship. We came out of school together, and we won a couple of all-star teams together, and we've kept up. Some of them I even played with professionally, and they say this is the year for Ohio State. Well, one thing, they're coming off suspension, and coming off suspension is a big thing. Another thing, they got one of the best big players in college ranks. He's a big kid out of Michigan, and his name is Adolphus, I think, but last name Washington. It's not hard to remember Washington. Anybody can remember Washington. But he's 6'3", 290 pounds, and he makes plays, and he's an elite pass rusher. He can stop the run, and he's the reason their defense will improve. Do they have enough defense to win the Big Ten? Yeah. Do they have enough defense to vie for the national championship? I don't think so. So I'm not going to pick them to be any higher than top six. You know, right now, a lot of polls have them in the top four. But one of the better players in college football, it's one thing about college football. If you've got a quarterback, you've got a chance. And Ohio State has a quarterback, a guy named Braxton Miller. He does everything wrong. Well, he runs like Manziel. He passes adequately enough to have 20 or 30 touchdown passes this year, depending upon how his receivers manage to hang on to the ball. He's an extremely good athlete, and he's one reason Ohio State will be considered for the national championship. Okay, now that Oregon has lost Kelly to the Philadelphia Eagles, do you think they're going to be any better or any worse? Most people think they're going to be the same on offense, because all those kids were top players when Kelly was there, and they'll be top players this year. They got Riata, I think his name is, at quarterback. He's going to be pretty good. D'Antonio Thomas, he'll be back. And they got a receiver by the name of Huff. Now, all these guys are veteran university or college athletes. Now, all they got to do is find a defense, and I don't know if they are capable of doing that, to find a defense that can keep people off the boards. One thing I do know about the Pac-10 or 12 is that they don't have very many defenses. You know, it's hard to find a defense in the Pac-12. No, nobody plays well on defense out there. All of them, except for Stanford. Stanford plays very well on defense. That's the reason they are probably ranked so high as being the second-ranked team in the nation right now. Now we're going to go to another team, and it's the old coach, Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier perhaps has the best football player in college football. And who is the best college football player in college football? Javon Clowney. He is a 6'6", 270-pound end that runs a 4.440. How can you do that? Most running backs will run 4.440s. Most NFL running backs run 4.440s. This guy is unbelievable. He is a freak. And he is the last few hits he made last season. The college group that oversees rules and regulation have tried to ban this hit from football, college football, that is, and now they're trying to ban it from pro football. But you cannot hit helmet to helmet, face to face anymore. You used to could not contact someone's helmet when they weren't watching. If they were watching, you could meet face to face for a contact hit. After he hit an opponent this past year, they banned the hit in college football. The guys are free. The guy is amazing. And South Carolina might be, I don't think they'll get anywhere close to number one, but they might be the team in the SEC that takes notice this year, because Steve Spurrier, and that's what everyone calls him, the coach, Steve Spurrier, much like Saban has been in college a long time, he's been in the pros and coached, been a head coach in both levels, and he knows how to bring a team home. So if they open good, they'll play well. And that's the fourth team in the SEC you got to watch. Another team that's a small college team, drug out of the ranks, is Louisville. The last 7 or 8, 9, 10 years, they've been playing top quality football, and you will expect them to be in the hunt again this year, along with, for some reason, Cincinnati. Cincinnati never gives up. You got to put Notre Dame in the mix. Notre Dame will probably be in the top 10. I don't know, but I think that's my time. If not, I only have a few minutes left. What I'm going to tell you about Notre Dame is that Notre Dame is coached by Brian Kelly, and last year they were one of the top teams until it came to meeting the top team, and that was when they met Alabama, and they got ran off the field. This year, they will have another great defense. Their offense will be sput and sputter, and they won't do very well. Florida State is another team that should be somewhere in the top 25, but their state rival, Florida, will at least be, I believe, be in the top 10. They got a really good quarterback in Driscoll. They got a running back named Jones, and they got a really good coach, Muschamp. He's a really good coach. They've been gelling for a while. They don't have offense, but they got defense. And defense wins football games. So I'm going to pick them in the top 10 just because they have defense, man. Another team that's got a chance to make at least the top 10 and maybe be number one, depending upon how they open up and how they finish, is Clemson. Clemson's tough. They got a really good offense, but again, they got no defense. And that's my top 10, all the way up to Clemson. Now, there's some sitting right outside. Texas is sitting right outside, which is a really important thing, because if you look at the next five or ten teams, all of them are from Texas. You got Texas. You got Texas Tech, Texas TCU. You got Baylor. And it goes on and on and on. But perennial big powers like LSU, they'll be somewhere in the top 20. Michigan State will be somewhere in the top 20. Florida State, I would know they wish they had E.J. Manuel again, but they got another kid out there named Winston. He's supposed to be big-time tough. So Florida State will be somewhere in that mix. I've just given you a few of the teams I expect to vie for top 10 teams. Some of them will be in the running for national championship sometime in November or December. If you get a chance to watch any of these teams, I think you should go out and see them. Next week, we're going to talk about the NFL and their season and my picks on them. It's been a pleasure talking to you tonight. I want all of you to get out to the film festivals, but I want you to especially try ComFest Community Film Festival. It's down on Front Street. It's at the Rainbow Cinema. Please come and see us. Have a good evening, everyone.